It's time for another episode of Rainmaker for Contractors. Interviews and success stories with million-dollar-plus basement waterproofing and foundation repair owners. Discover how they market and grow their companies in today's economy. Hear directly from the most successful leaders in your industry. With your host and Rainmaker for Contractors owner, Bill Crawford.
Hey, well, welcome everybody to the Rainmaker for Contractors podcast. Today we have a special guest, a longtime friend, colleague, board of director of the Basement Health Association, and owner of Budget Dry Waterproofing, Jason Weinstein. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Thank you for having me, Bill. I'm very honored to be part of your podcast.
Awesome. That's great. Hey, let's kind of start from the beginning. Can you tell us a little bit about your business, maybe the areas that you cover and some of the services offer?
Budget Dry is out of Connecticut. We service a little bit of Western Mass and a tiny portion of New York State as well. Started back in 2007, so we're almost up to 15 years now. Wow. Of doing this. And we're predominantly a basement waterproofing company, but over the years we've added in some other services from Bilco and other hatchway doors, basement windows, foundation crack repair, dehumidification. You know, things that are in a basement, we kind of stay within that comfort zone. We don't venture too far in that sense. And it's ironic because I never wanted to own a business. I came into this. I always wanted to work for an absentee owner was my goal in college. I said, I don't want the stress and the headaches of being an owner.
Sure.
And I left a job working in a telemarketing department for another waterproofer. My first job out of college, and interesting learning experience. And you know, I actually had to get brakes done on my car. And I started calling around to different, I got out the yellow pages back when we had those, and I was calling different repair shops. I didn't have a mechanic to trust. And I made it 10 or a dozen phone calls, and I spoke to two people. And that was after a week. You know, no answering machine, no answer, left multiple messages, no call back. And I said, God, if people exist in the world providing service like this, if there's a company out there that doesn't use voicemail, where every call is answered by a live person, you're going to get customers.
You're an opportunist.
Yeah. And I just saw this and I didn't know how to waterproof. I started waterproofing out of my parents' wet basement where I couldn't even afford to fix their basement yet.
Wow.
I was living at home at 22 years old. I'd have to put people on hold to get the shop vac out because water was coming in through the hatchway and through cracks in the floor. And I didn't want to get to my desk. And he started scheduling waterproofing jobs. And I got my license, got my insurance, put it all together. Afforded enough profit where I was able to fix up my parents' house. So I had an office there, bootstrap finance this thing. My business plan said I was going to do 50 sump pumps in a year. I ended up doing 375. Wow. in 8 months.
That's impressive. I don't ever remember hearing you say that.
So I actually still have the original business plan and all my names that I drummed up and threw against the wall and regret Budget Dry a little bit because I've kind of pulled myself into you're the cheap provider. Wish I went something different, but yeah, it's and what's in a name at the end is really the reviews. It's the satisfied customers that keep it going. You can call yourself anything. And as long as you have those customers that rave about you, it doesn't matter.
That's right. Hey, let me ask you, when you're in front of a customer, how do you position yourself differently than the many other choices that people have?
You know, every company's got a sales process and a pitch book and nifty graphics and videos. And you show the customer that, and we show our competitors' products and let them touch and feel, because some people are still, they need that extra sense. You know, just seeing a picture or seeing it in action doesn't work. They want to hold the actual item. Again, kicking the tires physically. So we do that to position ourselves because we believe we have a superior product. But in the end, plastic is plastic. Pumps are metal. They all do the same process. It comes down to the people. And it comes down to the representative that we sit in front of the customer, the experience the customer has had up to that point from scheduling their initial call into the company, the scheduled appointment, the follow-up confirmation text and email, a follow-up email, a pre-qualification email that we do allowing them to upload pictures, videos, and rate the performance to date, a pre-inspection of email with the project manager's photo in there so they know who's coming to their door. I think that's how we position ourselves. So when we get in front of them, it really boils down to here's your problem, here's the solution, and here's the company that you're dealing with. We do a little bit more to emphasize that we're a family-owned business. I had the privilege and honor of bringing my dad into the company for nearly 10 years there. So it was that family atmosphere. I still look at all my employees as family, and that is reflected in how they sell or install the products. But we emphasize we're not a franchise. We're not a big box store where somebody you can call up and count on, but it's delivered in all the steps leading up to that time at their kitchen table.
So I'm hearing, you allow people to touch the products, which is different because waterproofing's, it's invisible, kind of, it's under the floor. It's the people that you hire, but what really stands out to me as well is the communication that you do with the homeowner. You put them at ease by showing them pictures, sending them text, reminding them, and so on.
That's amazing. It goes back to, again, what drove me to do this and making those phone calls and not getting responses.
Yeah.
And I think as a consumer in general, there's nothing more infuriating than a lack of response, especially in today's day where everything is instant. You get text messaging, WhatsApp, Facebook messaging. People want it now, now, now. And a voicemail is just a technology I don't believe should exist in a business. Because that's kind of saying F you. Your concern isn't important enough for me to deal with it in the immediate time frame.
For the amount of money that people spend on leads, it's shocking that some people don't answer the phone. Or it's assigned to a sales rep, and when he's in a lead, he's not answering the phone. It's insane. And what some are gonna do, they're gonna hang up and go somewhere else. Hey, in the beginning of the conversation, you mentioned kind of a boatload of services that you do now in addition to basement waterproofing. Can you comment on that? Like, what are some of the bigger ones, like whether they be egress or basement windows,
sure,
or ventilation,
sure,
or anything?
So when I started the business, we didn't offer partial systems or sump pumps. It was you had to buy the full perimeter, you had to buy the works. And that was the only product we were going to offer. And it worked great in 2007. And being in Fairfield County, Connecticut at the time was our hotbed where all the Wall Street folks lived, and they were paying for the work, not with this year's bonus, but with next year's anticipated bonus.
Wow.
Started seeing some writing on the wall that maybe the wheels are coming off this gravy train. And fortunately, we were able to adapt and evolve, and we took on, doing smaller jobs. I had an experience then where I worked with Basement Technologies and James Pratt. And James has a reputation throughout the industry. If you Google him, it's not a pleasant one. But he did open my eyes to different things like crack repair and services that I didn't know we could do and focusing on margins. Again, I have a business degree, but I was really at that point 3 years into it, running around with a chicken and my head cut off, trying to survive to the next day, make payroll for the next week. And my experience at Basement Technologies taught me that regimenting a process, having things that could be done in a way that hold people accountable to deliver consistent results, And he introduced me to the book, The E-Myth, which is wonderful about working on your business and not just in it. And from there, we added in certain products, again, the crack repair. And I was so happy when we did $100,000 in crack repair. But then we went a little bit further. We started to have a service plan, and then I met Steve Andrus and saw the value of delivering repeat service. And I had my best friend was working for Medtronic at the time in insulin pumps. And he asked me one day, what's the lifetime value of your customer? I said, you know, my average job, $6,600. Maybe they buy a pump a few years down the road when that one fails. By that point, then they sell the house, and hopefully, you know, the new owner calls me when they have an issue. And he explained in his world, when someone is diagnosed with diabetes, they know with these actuary tables, if you're so many years old and you know, your sugar levels are X, that they're going to make so much profit off of you before the time the disease kills you or you die of something related to it.
Wow.
To the penny. And I could see, you know, it wasn't just about selling the insulin pump. It was selling the insulin needed in that pump over and over and over again. So wow. We really made a push in the service business to get out there and do sump pump tune-ups. And besides the revenue, and it's nice to have repeat reoccurring revenue that's over 80% margin, and you know it's coming in every year, and we have people that just are on a credit card bill. We bill them monthly like their gym membership, and we show up and we service the pump. They get other value for it too. But it's also a great preventative, because in that for those heavy rainstorms, the first calls you always get are service related and not revenue related.
That's right.
And you have to focus on opportunities first. And it's another thing I believe in the book, Good to Great. You put your best people on your opportunities. You put them in the field selling. You don't have them servicing. And by taking away the negative, taking away these pump failures, because we're catching them before it gets to that point, it doesn't drag down morale, and it allows us to focus on those opportunities and sell, and really decreases the number of service related calls that we get. From there, we also added, you know, hatchway, Bilco doors, egress windows, because I learned from Hugo D'Esposito how crucial those could be, and doing them the right way. Because again, family business, I want my guys going home to their family at the end of the day. So we don't take shortcuts when it comes to safety. And just, I forget the products at this point, because if it's in a basement, we do it. Dehumidification is another one that we emphasize, because it ties in to those service related calls that you would get about a little puddle that would form near the pump because the condensation was dripping off the discharge line. Rather than having to send somebody out there to tell them they needed a dehumidifier, now we're quoting that dehumidifier from the get-go and getting it. We do a bit with ventilation too and air exchangers, but with our climate being so close to the coast and the humidity, we focus more on the moisture than the air quality. But in the day of COVID, that probably is going to change.
Yeah. So you know, there was a lot of really good points there. I know a lot of waterproofers are fighting over that phrase, you know, basement waterproofing and all those related. I could see a lot of customers reaching out to you because you're offering a variety of services, and they may need something else that's related to many one of your services. I love that. That's really cool. And
customers aren't contractors. They don't know what they need. Mm-hmm. They come to you, and this is always a thing I hear too about things like Home Advisor. Oh, it was the search for a wet yard, or they want a retaining wall fix. We get back to the why. Why are they going to Home Advisor? Why now? They've lived in that house for 15 years. What's changed? What's that driving factor that's causing that pain? And is there something that I can do to eliminate it?
Yeah.
They've had enough. If they take the time to deal with registering and creating an account and going through all those steps, if they've taken that much time, there is definitely something bothering them.
Absolutely.
And they may not know what they need, and it's our responsibility to figure it out and hopefully have a service that we can deliver.
Yep. Hey, do you have any favorite business lines or motivational lines that help focus your energy?
So I'm not a big rah-rah motivational guy. When I was about 18, 19, I read the book by Jim Collins, Good to Great. And
great
book. I keep going back to this book, and I keep realizing that it, with unintentionally how I'm following it. And part of the book is level five leadership and putting your ego aside. And it's very easy for everyone to say, I don't have an ego. My, you know, my personality doesn't affect the business. But it does. When you own a business, it's nice to be part of that club, the business owners club. You're no longer the employee club. You have this pride, and you have to put that pride aside. Being right in business when it comes to customers means very little. You may be correct in your warranty and in your claims and in your refund policy, but how important is staying that line and standing your ground? And that's where ego comes into it. And if you let that interfere too much, you harm your company. You set a bad example for the rest of your employees. And the other thing that I've taken really from that book is getting the right people on the bus and then figuring out the seats. I totally butchered how it's written in there, but that's the idea. And when we hire, people can have really impressive resumes and be absolute idiots, or they just don't fit the company culture at all. So I look for attitude and values, because you're not going to change if somebody's an early riser or if somebody's neat or if somebody is going to go that extra mile. But you can teach them a skill.
Hey, let me ask you something that we didn't talk about. In the interview process, do you have like a favorite interview question? How do you determine some of these characteristics that you're after to find the right people to get them on the bus?
You have to explain your company values. I mean, we don't have a company mission statement. I know there are some out there and they hammer it home. I'm just not a big buzzword guy. Even back in college, I'd hear the word basically, and I'd pull my hair out just over and over. Is there the same things as the like, in my mind. And if you're just repeating a creed that you don't internalize, what does it do? So we make a big point of sharing who we are. I know interviews are really supposed to be about listening, just like sales. You're listening 100% of the time and speaking 10. We do it a little differently in the interview, and we talk a bit more up front. And you start to see how people, how they react to your phrases. And some people will squirm, some will fidget. And those are just signs that they're not the right fit. I know there are people that are fidgety, but you can look for it, and it's like a police interrogation in a sense, but not as harsh, but we're asking and we're talking about the company. We're talking about our work, and we see how they internalize it. I have some in my office, Kaylee, who loves to ask the question though, when you were little, what'd you want to be when you grew up? And I would never ask that, but because gosh, that changed a million times in my mind. Even in when I was about to graduate college, I had a different idea. I never thought I'd be a basement waterproofer. But asking people that, you start to see, again, what their dreams and aspirations are. If they have the dreams, if they have that hunger, they could be a good fit. They don't have to be a lifetime employee. I have one I just hired who's trying to finish his degree. He's like, I got 2 years. If you work hard for those 2 years and deliver, it's worth my investment in you. Even if I know there's a finite end at the, with this.
Mm-hmm. I like
but
it.
Investing in people is critical because that's what sets you apart. And it's not just giving them the initial training. It's giving them the tools, making sure they're not frustrated with technology. Mm-hmm. We have so many great technology options right now, but if it creates too much frustration and what I call time sucks, where there are operations in the business that just demoralize somebody, that are so tedious, that break them down, you're killing your business. So we focus on removing those time sucks by giving them new technologies, whether it be a computer that's faster in the loading with more memory so that their internet tabs don't crash.
Sure.
If it's a phone system that allows them to work remotely, especially in these days with the work from home solutions, and actually providing them computers and monitor screens to work from home so that they have a decent setup and dealing with childcare, which is so fluid these days and out of school, in school. If you invest in your people, you get that return back. I don't have a metric for it, but I really feel it's infinite. You just have to make them, you have to do everything in your power as an owner to make their job easier.
Sounds like you want to love on your people and really empower them, you know, to help them, give them everything they can, that you can. Hey, let me ask you something, like looking back over the many years, what'd you say, 15 maybe? Mm-hmm. Was there a difficult time that you know, maybe your back was against the wall and it felt that way at the time? And then now that you've gone past that, you look back at that moment and you realize that was a key part of the growth of your business.
There really are two moments. The first time was the first time I got sued. Mm. And I had an employee who was supposed to be an owner in the business, but never came to the table. He was older than me and really took advantage of me as a naive 22-year-old and sued for ownership of Budget Dry, though he never put up a penny. And that was a learning experience. That's where it comes down to being right doesn't really matter. Mm. I was in the right. I had all the legal documents to prove I was in the right. He was allowed to go to the bank, had a relationship with a bank manager, open an account in the company name, and deposit customer checks in there and say, well, this is the business now.
Wow.
That was a hell of a learning curve and put me through the ringer and financially drained me to thinking, yeah, and the attorneys advised me, just fold the business. Don't try. Just start again with something new. It's easier that way. And I pushed through because I wanted to prove that I was correct. I mean, it cost a lot in the end. It cost a lot to my quality of life in the company. But it also forced me to change how we did business. Back then was the days where everybody was an independent contractor. And I brought people onto payroll as W-2s at that point, the sales folks and the installers, and went legit with the business and focused on improving my bookkeeping and my record keeping and going that extra mile to set everything right up properly and build that mousetrap so that it could function. That was a big turning point. And then the next was I was bedridden for 9 months in 2012.
Wow.
My business was off 70% because it was too reliant on me to run everything from lead generation and scheduling of installations and handling customer issues and doing the training. So that taught me a bit about really, that's when I started to invest in the people and invest in developing them. And I have employees still from that time period that are with me today. And
nice.
The growth with them, I mean, they feel it's their business. They want to do everything possible to protect the business, protect the brand, and protect me.
I love it.
So they defend the company against employees that may say, F this, I hate this job. But you get those. Everyone has a day where we all hate our job. And to say otherwise, you're lying. But to have somebody that then metaphorically slaps them, wakes them up, and gets them back to work is crucial in the business.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, another surprise question for you. You got to work with your dad for 10 years. Is there one thing that you could say that he taught you that you maybe even learned it as a kid and you see it reflected in your company?
It's so hard to say one thing.
I know. I bet there's
A million things and things I emulated from him. But as a kid growing up, he always had a yellow pad with him. And he would jot things down. And the importance of just, and I try and get this across to my younger employees in particular, write it down so you don't forget, so that it gets handled. Things don't fall through the cracks. If you put a post-it note, it's going to get lost. It's going to get attached to something else. If you say you're going to remember, you leave it in your email inbox. You can't run a business off your email inbox, especially providing quality customer service. You have to write things down and cross them off that list.
I like it.
That's the biggest takeaway. I mean, there's so much in the sales world and customer service and business that I learned from him, but that one, it just everybody can benefit from.
I like that one. That's a good one. Hey, last question for any companies that maybe aren't as far along as you are. Do you have any advice or tips that you could pass along?
So a big, big thing is knowing your numbers. I look at BudgetDry as a sales organization that just happens to sell basement waterproofing, dehumidification, and related products. But what it comes down to is knowing your cost of products and the cost to deliver them. I was also fortunate enough to marry a CPA who also drilled this home with me too, because I had an accountant that was screwing me over. And as a business owner, you pay somebody, you pay top dollar, you expect a proper tax return. You expect the numbers to be right. And we don't, I think, know enough about the accounting and tax side. I think it gets us all in trouble. So now my P&L is organized. I have revenue breakdown by our different services. I have cost of goods sold by our different services. So I can see the specific margins in each. And my payroll is broken down into sales, office, service, and installation. So I can see those things and see very clearly my overtime costs. Because it's easy to want to take care of a problem now and end up spending a fortune in overtime. And yes, you've delivered customer service, but you've hurt your business. So I know it goes, everything I've talked about has been about your people, because that's crucial to delivering to the customer. But knowing your numbers is crucial to your people. And that's something that everybody should just take a little more time with and understand, especially as we're coming up on that March 15th corporate tax deadline, knowing what you're signing on your tax return and understanding it fully.
Hey, that 12 years that you've served on the board of directors, maybe 13, 14, and how much time and effort you put into the accounting statements for the Basement Health Association? Nothing you said surprises me. I could imagine you having full reign on your own accounting statements. Man, you must measure everything. So hats off to you. Hey, Jason, thank you so much for joining us today.
I really appreciate the time, Bill.
You've been listening to the Rainmaker for Contractors podcast, where basement waterproofing and foundation repair business owners and industry experts share marketing and sales information that helps you reach more customers. Please leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform and get all of our show notes at rainmakerforcontractors.com/podcast.